And now the game where we bring in experts to ask them about things they don't know anything about. It's really just a waste of their time, but they keep saying yes. If you want to know what Elvis Presley's fur lamp looks like, you can go to Graceland. If you want to know what Elvis himself was really like, you have to read Peter Guralnick's magisterial two-volume biography of the King. Mr. Guralnick has written a number of books about American music. We are delighted to have him with us. Peter Guralnick, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, thanks very much.
So, like I said, you've written a number of books about American music, soul music, and Sam Cooke, but you're mainly known for this great two-volume biography, two books, Last Train to Memphis and Careless Love, about Elvis. Did you ever meet Elvis?
No, I never met him, but I did write him a letter.
You did?
And I was able to validate the fact that I'd written him the letter when I did the research for my biography. We got into the archives at Graceland, and eventually we got into Vernon's office.
Well, Vernon was Elvis's father, right?
Vernon was Elvis's father. This was a big thrill, and we were there in our white gloves and stuff. Now, I had written this letter to Elvis about 1967.
What did it say?
Well, I told him that I was a big fan, that I loved the music, that I knew he got a lot of requests for interviews. I knew he didn't do any interviews, but that if he ever were of a mind to do an interview, that I was ready to travel to Memphis and do the interview, which it thrilled him, I'm sure. But it did, or it may not have thrilled him, but it did provoke a response. I got a Christmas card that year and for several years thereafter.
So that from was, Elvis?
It was, you know, a printed Christmas card, but it was from Elvis.
So are you saying that when you were looking through the files, you found this letter?
When I was looking through the files, they had to break the padlock. The file cabinets hadn't been opened since Vernon's death in about 1982. And we're going through the file cabinets, and we're finding all kinds of things. And there was my letter, you know, that Vernon had preserved in his archives. So I took that as a good stroke.
You should have, you know, what you should have done is you should have just picked it up and said, "There, I've been looking for this," and walked right out. Now, how old were you when you wrote that letter to Elvis?
I was, I guess, about 23.
23.
Yeah.
And weren't you supposed to, this is like 1967, you're 23-year-old in 1967, weren't you supposed to be into, like, what, Jimi Hendrix or the Rolling Stones or the Who or bands like that at that time, or the Beatles?
No, I had just fallen into the blues when I was about 15. I mean, I was just totally
turned around. Well, so did I, but, you know, I just wrote really bad poetry and wore black turtlenecks.
Well, you know, I was inclined to that, too. But really, it was the blues that led me to everything, including to Elvis, because it was around that time that RCA put out Elvis's blues sides from Sun. And I just thought, oh, my God, Elvis was a blues singer. He missed his calling. I was just thrilled to discover Mystery Train and Good Rockin' Tonight and all these songs. So blues led me everywhere. It led me to soul. It led me to gospel. It led me to country. It led me to Elvis, too.
I have to say, like this biography is so precise. It's like, and then on this day, Elvis got up and had this for breakfast. It was his usual peanut butter and banana sandwich. But this time, the toasting was only moderate. The toast was set to 4.
And Elvis threw a fit because he wanted it darker.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, did you ever, like, find yourself, like, having lunch and going, what would Elvis Presley eat for lunch? Did you lose yourself in his life?
Well, I think with all of the books I've written, I mean, with Sam Cooke, with Sam Phillips now, it's a process of total immersion. I hope it's not immersion in breakfast practices, although cereal is important. But the thing is, it is total immersion, and you wind up in this dialogue, this imaginary dialogue, where you're looking for the answer to questions that you'll never be able to pose.
Now, this biography of Elvis, which I've read and enjoyed, and it completely changed my mind about Elvis, because you make a case that he was this incredibly important American musician. But for most people, when they think of Elvis, they think of the jumpsuit Elvis of Vegas. They think of, you know, the caricature and the sideburns. And when you were telling people, they said, "Well, Peter Guralnick, you're a well-known author. You've got all these accolades. What are you working on?" And you'd say, "I'm working on a two-volume biography of Elvis Presley." What did people say?
I didn't tell them.
Oh,
I was concerned that when the book came out, that it would just be dismissed. But you know, as it turned out, I was wrong, and I think that today people recognize the music, they recognize the art, and they recognize the conscious intent behind the music.
Now, there's a cliche, of course, of the older man, or woman, I guess, saying, "The music you kids listen to these days is terrible. You should hear the music I listen to." And I, let me, you must be the worst person like that who's ever lived.
It's like, no, I like all kinds of music. I mean, I'm drawn to what I'm drawn to. I'm interested in what I'm interested in, and it doesn't bother me that somebody else likes something else.
So you're going to write a 2-volume biography of Kesha?
That, I'm not going to guarantee that.
Okay. Well, Peter Goronek, we've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Hey, sexy ladies!
Carl, pay attention to what we're doing here.
Oh, okay. No,
now, that, of course, Carl was, of course, doing his best sigh. That's a line from his big hit Gangnam Style. You knew Peter Goronek. You're perhaps the foremost authority on American popular music. We're going to talk to you, though, about K-pop, the slickly produced videos and songs from Korea that are taking the world by storm. Answer 2 questions correctly. You'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Peter Goronek playing for?
He is playing for Robbie Sherwin of Austin, Texas.
Ready to play?
But do I get to choose Roxanne's version?
Yeah, another man falls under your spell, Roxanne. K-pop is usually takes the form of bands, girl groups, boy groups, and they're always carefully groomed, and like they're manufactured by these agencies, with young kids training for years before being selected and formed into a group. They have to obey strict rules during their training, such as which of these: A, never be seen in public not smiling; B, they can only speak during the day in song lyrics; or C, they cannot eat or drink anything after 7 p.m.
I'm going to go for B.
You're going to go for B. They can only speak in song lyrics.
Right.
No, it's actually C. It was true of one agency. They didn't want their girls, of course, to get either chubby or hydrated. So no eating or drinking anything after 7 p.m. Okay. Now, next question. Now, K-pop idols, once they form a band or are launched as a solo act, they become incredibly famous in Korea and all over Asia. They get recognized everywhere they go, even when they wear disguises sometimes. Why? Because fans are so obsessive they can identify them by their arms and legs. B, they are said to glow. Or C, even their body odor is famous and fans can recognize it.
I'm going to go for the arms and legs.
And that would be correct. The arms and legs is the answer.
All right.
They often appear wearing skimpy outfits. And thus, their arms and legs can be... I mean, people say, I know that arm, and they rush up to them in public. All right, last question. You can get it all right. You can win it all if you get this right. Now, if you ever watch a K-pop video, you'll notice the incredibly elaborate dance routines. I recommend people look for Girl Generation on YouTube if you want to see one of these. One band manager told the New York Times that the choreography in these videos and routines is inspired by what? A, Fred Astaire and Ginger Roberts... Excuse me, Roberts... Tribute to you, Roxanne. Sorry, I'll try that again. A, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, if they were robots. B, goose-stepping North Korean soldiers, but, quote, with an infectious sense of joy, unquote. Or C, the panicked running mobs in Godzilla movies.
These are tough choices.
They are.
I'll go with Fred Astaire and Ginger Roberts.
Yes, wise choice. Ginger Roberts had to do everything Fred Asterisk did, but backwards. So you're going to Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers as robots is the inspiration.
Yes.
No, I'm afraid it was B, goose-stepping North Korean soldiers.
Wow.
Carl, how did Peter Goronek do in our quiz?
He needed at least 2 correct answers to win, but he had just 1 correct answer. Peter.
Oh. Bummer.
But the man knows his Elvis.
He does, and that's what's important. And I think we should ask you this, since you are probably the foremost living expert on Elvis Presley. Is he alive?
when we were in Vernon's office, there was a telephone that had been disconnected probably 30 years before, and they told us you can't call out on that because it was disconnected 30 years before. And about 11 o'clock on the second night we were there, the telephone rang. And when we picked it up, there appeared to be no one there. But I think that may have been Elvis trying to tell us something.
Really?
Wow.
Wow.
That's scary.
I think that's cool.
I would have thought I made it up, except I was there.
Peter Goronek is the author of the great biography of Elvis of 2 volumes, Last Train to Memphis and Careless Love. There are now ebook reissues of his books Feel Like Going Home and Lost Highway. Peter Goronek, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, sir.
Just since my baby left me, well, I found a new place.
Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel, where I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely, I'll be just a lonely, I could die. Oh, though it's always crowded, you still can find.